The revelation this week that the American National Security Agency has been busy harvesting data about users of even the most apparently innocuous apps and websites, including the Angry Birds game, apparently, has set many people thinking and indeed taking action. There's a new boom industry, it seems, supplying what they say are NSA-proof ways of sending emails and storing data. Trent Ashburn is the founder of Wireover, a company that offers, for $10 a month, end-to-end encryption for the transfer of data.
For starters, we're not anti-NSA per se, we're pro-security. So there's ways to use cryptography that I'll call end-to-end encryption. And there's a big difference between end-to-end encryption and just encryption. And end-to-end encryption is a way of using cryptography such that only your receiver can decrypt the files. When end-to-end encryption is implemented properly, to my knowledge, it has never been cracked.
That's very interesting. So you're saying that if the NSA did want to get a hold of my data, they actually couldn't?
I believe that's correct.
You don't really know who I am. So I could be someone, one of the bad guys. I could be someone who's planning something that is against the interests of the United States and maybe the rest of the world. You're selling me a system that means that your country's security people cannot discover that. Is that a good thing?
That's a good question. I would say that it's certainly patriotic to support your government, to support the security of your country, for example. But the tools in the arsenal of our government, they're many and they're very, very good, and they typically do a great job. I don't think that Wireover is going to make a much of a dent, if any, in their needs to get done what they need to get done.
But supposing the NSA come along and say, look, legally, we can demand that you allow us access to this end-to-end encryption so we can find out what's being transferred. What do you say then?
Well, we've actually designed our tool so that even if someone held a gun to our head, we couldn't access people's content. The end-to-end encryption encrypts the files on the sender's own device and can only be decrypted on the receiver's device.
So what you're saying is that you're giving a tool. You're not actually doing anything with the data yourself. You're simply providing a tool.
Correct.
Okay. How much interest have you found in this? I mean, since you've been set up, are you getting a lot of interest?
Yes. It's coming from quite a lot of places, too. There's the medical community is particularly interested in protecting the personal health information of patients, for example. They need that both for their business, but also for compliance purposes. There's the lawyers in finance and accountants. People in those industries also need to have their data completely secured. And there's also a lot of individuals that are using Wireover for their own personal data. In fact, we just got a request for a family plan.
Trent Ashburn there and his company Wireover. And what they deal with, of course, is data. But much of what the NSA has been allegedly harvesting comes not from stored data, but from emails. And there's another company now called Virtue that claims it can make sure your emails are only accessible to you. It's run by Jack Ackerley, a former White House official, and his brother Will, himself a former NSA operative. Jack told me how it works.
My brother invented a technology while at the NSA that enables the user to encrypt every email and attachment. And it uses something called AES 256-bit encryption, which is the strongest out there. So the users of our service should be confident that their information is secure. They can also, by virtue of the technology, revoke emails after they are sent, set expiry, prevent forwarding. So you really have control over all of your digital information. This is really important to us as a privacy company. And we feel like the pendulum has swung too far away from the individual in terms of personal privacy rights. So we feel like this is a real game changer. And we think it's a really important service to get out. It is the good guys who are paying the price right now. The bad guys can be found. And I would just say, we are a privacy company. A big part of our mission is around giving people back their fundamental right to privacy. In addition, we really believe that this is an opportunity to kind of get strong encryption in the hands of everyone.
Okay, now have you noticed a lot of interest in this? I mean, have you got people coming to you in large numbers after the revelations from Mr. Snowden? Are you noticing a kind of boom?
Absolutely. There has been a lot of good that has come out of the Snowden revelations, and that includes increased public awareness. And so naturally, there has been a big increase. And there have been quite a few companies that have also sprouted up just post Edward Snowden, and they are doing good work too.
Jack Ackerley there. So how widespread is the demand for this kind of encryption, and why do so many people who aren't criminals or terrorists want to keep their data secret anyway? Alex Wilhelm is with the technology website TechCrunch in San Francisco.
I definitely see it's becoming more popular as public awareness grows at what the NSA and other government agencies can do. I think for a lot of folks, they just presumed that if they put it online, it was going to be safe inside the bucket, be it Dropbox, Box, SkyDrive, what have you. But now that people do understand what the NSA is capable of, I think encryption is going to become a far more popular tool.
But at the same time, people would say, well, look, if you're not doing anything wrong, if you're not doing anything you're ashamed of, why do you want to be off the grid?
Actually, ironically enough, TechCrunch asked Edward Snowden that exact question, and his response was pretty good. He said that there are kind of wide-reaching effects of this. So if you think you are not safe and secure in your papers and your thoughts and your files, there's a chilling effect on what you think, how you think, and what you say. So even if you specifically may not be doing anything illegal, just that the government can look at your stuff without your permission does change the way you act.
And a lot of commercial companies, I guess, want not to be looked at as well. Big companies, perhaps, with a bit of money to spend, who can buy this kind of encryption.
Absolutely. I mean, if you have a lot of corporate secrets, you know, be they trade secrets, patent information, new files, new, you know, products, you want to keep that to yourself, not just say from the U.S. government, but also all governments. And so if you have strong encryption on your files, that's, you know, increases your overall safety. And as we see more and more aggressive cyber espionage, encryption of this sort will become kind of a necessary tool or a necessary shield for, I think, all companies.
So this is a big business area. People could make a lot of money out of providing this level of encryption.
Absolutely. For example, Box recently raised $100 million at a $2 billion valuation. Dropbox is raising at around a $10 billion valuation. These companies that are boosting their encryption are incredibly valuable.
But Alex, you and I could get down and say, right, now we're building something. This is going to be completely impenetrable to the NSA or any of that group. I mean, how can we prove it? I mean, if you're an ordinary company, you're not going to know what you're getting, are you?
Well, you know, as I say, caveat emptor, but watch your money. I mean, I think you're going to kind of get what you pay for. So if you're spending more money, that might just line up with the quality of service.
What about ordinary individuals like you and me? I mean, can you see a time when we, you know, decide we're going to set up an email or whatever, we can kind of tick a box to have encrypted or not encrypted?
I think it's going to become the norm, but I don't know the time frame on that. So that could be 5 years out, maybe even six. But I do think as time goes along, everyone, my mom, your mom, will eventually be encrypting all of our stuff.
Alex Wilhelm there. Well, my mum and his mum aren't on, but Vishala Sripatna, not a mum of any kind, I don't think. You've been monitoring the social websites and social media. So what are people saying about this?
So we asked our listeners whether they're willing to pay to be protected from NSA snooping. And so we've got some tweets here in response to that. I can pay just to maintain my privacy, though it's a painful thought to pay for such a luxury. Pay the NSA to not spy on me? Isn't that what the mobsters used to do? Pay me so I don't harm you? No way. This tweet made me smile. I want the NSA to spy on me so they can hear my defiance. So keep them coming. Tweet us at BBC World Biz, biz spelt B-I-Z.
Now, are you feeling surveilled? That's the question. So, Das, I mean, in Australia, I guess perhaps it isn't so much so, but would you be tempted to avail yourself of any of these methods that we've been hearing about to make sure you're not being surveilled?
Look, I think the best way is to actually communicate by basically little slips of paper sent by carrier pigeon. That's probably the safest way.
Well, you're the man famously who doesn't even have a mobile phone, so I think that's
exactly right. But the interesting thing about all of that is Australia's at the moment involved in this rather interesting dispute about surveillance, which is actually about the negotiations with East Timor over the so-called Timor Gap energy reserves. And Australia is now in the International Court of Criminal Justice in The Hague, where essentially we are being accused of having gained commercial advantage in our negotiations with East Timor, which is a pretty helpless, tiny country. And that's the major surveillance issue that is actually preoccupying the Australian politicians.
So the Australians were actually spying or surveilling the East Timorese?
Yes, and this is actually one of the curious things that came out of the Snowden revelations.
Well, there you are. Now, who would have thought? Now, Peter, if ever a man to be surveilled, I think you're probably, I don't know, are you being spied on every second of every day?
Oh, I think not. I'm so transparent and public that it's kind of hard to find. I don't really have a lot of secrets. If you want to get into my, you know, internet and so forth, have at it. However, I have a lot of friends who would prefer to not be so closely watched by the federal government. You know, we've had a lot of controversy in the United States with the IRS allegedly targeting
This is the Internal Revenue Service who looks after the taxes.
Exactly. Yeah. Folks have been getting audited on the taxes, and they're predominantly conservatives, it seems, people who have in some way or another have affiliated themselves even marginally with the Tea Party. And so a lot of those folks are getting very, very concerned about their privacy. And, you know, President Obama's basic view of the National Security Administration and its data collection is, well, you can trust me. You can trust us with this. But you got to remember, this is an administration whose lawyers have, you know, taken the phone records serendipitously of Associated Press, have been tracking.
Peter. Who was the people who put all this in place? It was the previous administration, the Patriot Act, and everything that followed.
The trouble is, the guy is in charge now 5 years, so it's his baby.
Well, yeah, I know, but he was taking over what was there before. It's not. I mean, you know, maybe right wingers are being surveilled, but left wingers were too.
A lot of this fear is irrational, okay? Well, in terms of left-wingers, I mean, the president keeps saying, well, you know, liberal organizations were audited and hassled by the IRS, but no one's ever seemed to be able to come up with any. I mean, none of them are stepping forward and saying, oh, yes, I was hassled, and here's how. So I think who's ever in the White House, they sort of feel the opposition is treating them unfairly, whether it's Republican or Democrat, and they can be inclined to abuse these kinds of tools. But don't think you can hide from them.
Well, no, indeed. I mean, it does seem to be a very universal sweep, in fact, right across the board. In fact, Vishala Sripatna is back with me here now. I mean, Vishala, you've got an interesting thought about a couple of websites that they might be harvesting data from you or some of your friends, possibly?
Yes, that's right. So apps serve a multitude of purposes these days. And quite a few people I know have dating apps. So dating apps pull information generally from sort of social media like Facebook. And what they do is they pop up pictures and you can sort of say yes or no. There's a really famous one called Tinder. So what that does is pull your information, you say yes or no. And then if you agree that you both find each other attractive, you can then chat to each other. Now, that information, the information that's passed, is quite personal details about sort of your jobs, about your numbers, but also, I mean, what you want to share with a potential suitor is quite...
And that could be listed. I suppose the thing is that they sweep right across in the sort of kind of way they do. They only pick out things that they think would be useful, and they have computer programs that select things like that. I mean, they might not come up with your potential beau, I don't know, would they?
Oh, I hope not. I'd be flattered if that was the case. But...
Well, there's certainly a lot of it out there, but I think a lot of people will be thinking now perhaps about availing themselves of some services that keep them out of the clutches of the NSA. But then, as we've said, the NSA may very well A, say that they should be after them, and B, that they can get around any of these things anyway. The clash will continue, I guess. Anyway, stay with us. Much more coming up in the next half hour here on Business Matters, coming to you live from the BBC in London.